big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man.
Come back here. You're not going out with all that makeup on.
But, Dad...
Upstairs. You're a McDonald, not a whore.
So in the spirit of Halloween, I had to hit that little clip in there. Welcome, everybody. It is another edition, a special Halloween edition to Off the Ropes. Going to be a little shorter tonight than what we normally do, simply because I stepped away from a Halloween party to do this. So, I mean... Yeah, y'all are welcome to continue if I have to step away, but I don't know if it's going to be the normal 2 hours. It might just be an hour and a half or whatever tonight, but we'll figure it out. We're going to have a new voice on the show, Dave Dawson, Connecticut Zone. So, hello.
That's right.
You're going to have to come up with a persona at some point.
I already got him a nickname.
Oh, do
you have a nickname for me already?
I already got him a nickname. The Hammer!
The Hammer. I'll take it.
The Hammer. The Hammer, the David Dawson. I like it. I like it.
I'll be Thor for Halloween, and we'll deal with that for the night.
There we go. Well, if you've seen his Facebook photos, it is fitting.
I've never met him, but and don't take this wrong way, Dave, because I like you. But
yeah.
you kind of look like that guy Nunn from Superman.
Yeah, I've gotten that a couple times.
Yeah, but since you're with us, there's no way you're a nun, so...
Right, that's also true, yeah.
we may be having Jason call in as well as a caller. Not going to go into on the air what is happening there, but he may be calling in tonight to weigh in as well on Hell in a Cell, because he actually, despite, I think, what Icon's opinion is and what I know Dave's opinion is, Jason actually enjoyed Hell in a Cell last night. So I don't know, but he did. So hopefully he can call in and relay that information to us. But you know, I was flipping back and forth. Well, I wasn't flipping back and forth. I had the computer open on one side with the volume down, and I was watching my Dallas Cowboys beat Carson Wentz last night. So that was Yeah. And then the Minnesota Vikings trail at halftime, 13-3. So that's also fun. Poor thing. But anyway, I told you it was going to happen. And Wentz played a good game, and so did Dak. But, you know, how about the – actually, you know what, Icon? Before we start this show tonight, I know this is a wrestling-themed show, not a sports – you know, it's just a sports show. It is commercial-free Mondays. So you're welcome for that. For everybody out there who doesn't like to sit there and listen to commercials, you are welcome. But tonight, I guess it's in good fun. I mean, part of it is my competitive spirit, but part of it is also just in good fun. I got to hit you with this.
You did one hell of a job, and only thing else I got to say is, how about Jim Cowboy? Yeah!
So, anyways, I'll leave that at that.
I am getting over the flu, but I think I got the symptoms back now.
You may. all I know is that we're six. I'm calling it right now. I know who Dave's football team is. At least I think I do, and I'm calling it now. Cowboys Patriots Super Bowl in February. It's happening.
Wow.
I don't think so.
So, but that's a little bit more of for tomorrow's show, for Sports Roundup. That's a little bit more of a topic we're going to discuss tomorrow. Right now, we have a wrestling show to discuss. We're also going to interview Dave, get to know him a little bit on the air. Dave also might be having a friend who's going to be calling in and talking with us, not tonight, but in coming weeks, who's a wrestling fan as well. So, but first, just wanted to take you here. We're going to let you know we're taking you through the end of Raw, brought to you by Cage Combat, the number one small market MMA in New York State. Hell in a Cell fallout here. Well, first, before we do that, we've got Charlotte in the ring, being carried to the ring like a Greek goddess, okay? And Charlotte won in her Hell in a Cell match last night. Bayley beat Dana Brooke. What are they setting up here between Charlotte and Bayley?
Well, here's the deal.
I mean, is this – yeah.
Here's the deal. Bayley is really talented, okay? She has not had a feud with anybody, okay? This is the start of the feud. Now, we predicted on this show last week, because we have some WWE writer that's watching this, that's listening to this show. He's not watching the show, but he's listening. Now, we had said that the main event was going to be the women's title match at Hell in a Cell. We said that that was going to be your main event, and it was. And we also said that Bayley needs to have a feud with Charlotte, and that is being transpired right now. And I have this gut feeling. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I have this gut feeling.
No, okay.
I have this gut feeling that we talked about this too, that they're going to have Charlotte lose and win and lose and win and get her up to the same amount of titles as her father.
Yeah, book that. I agree with that. Yeah, tenfold. She's gonna wind up with like 15,000 championships just to be like the most successful family ever. Yeah, it's so true.
But Flair did it over like 20 or 30 years. I mean, is the credibility for Charlotte really there if she drops the belt and then re-wins it five or six or seven times in a year or in a year and a half? I mean, is it really the credibility there despite the number of titles? I mean, you look at Triple H. He was the first one to get that many, well, Ric Flair, obviously, but then Triple H did it from 97 to, what, 07 or 08, you know, when he finally started to taper down a bit. You had Ric Flair do it over a 20, 30-year period. You had, you know, Hogan do it over however many years. You had John Cena do it over a decade-long period. I mean, Charlotte's already 30. I mean, how long does she really have to get to that point? Because I don't want to sound sexist here for all the female listeners who may be listening, but Charlotte's already 30. You look at Trish Stratus and Lita and those girls, they started in their early 20s. Okay. Yeah, Trish went into her 30s. She was like, I think 35 before when she became irrelevant. But Charlotte's already like, I just don't know if a female wrestler can go for a 20, 30 year period like a Ric Flair can, despite being in that family. Because unfortunately, these superstars are judged on their looks. And once the looks fade, their popularity is going to fade, despite how good they are in the ring. So the fact that, you know, Sasha Banks looks good now, Charlotte, I mean, I like tall girls. I'm kind of a tree climber, so I'm okay with Charlotte.
But you don't like her face.
I don't like her face. It just looks like somebody pulled Silly Putty over their knee. That's really what it is. And then you've got you know, Sasha Banks, obviously Bay, the boss. And then this lady, Mia Jax, who is gigantic. You know, some of these women, you know, Icon and Dave, you can't disagree here. The fact that part of the allure of Lita was she was just trashy hot. Lita was like trailer park hot.
Trailer park,
you know what I'm saying?
She's trailer park hot. Absolutely. Yeah. If I can strike first here, I guess I just want to kind of rebuttal your point.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, I was listening. It was to like the Edge Worship episode you guys did, and
my homeboy, yeah,
right. Yeah. And I think Dustin called him out about how many championships did he win because you said he had like the record or whatever. So the same way that you dismiss Charlotte's winning a bunch of titles in a short time frame, can't you say the same for Edge? Like he didn't do over 30 years. Like,
are you going to attack Edge now, too? God
no,
damn it.
I'm just curious how your perspective is, because if Edge lost the championship 30-plus times in 15 years, then what about Charlotte? Like, how can you dismiss her and not Edge for that?
Because I'm dismissing her based on looks. I mean, her looks are going to fade in 4 years, where the guy's going to look the same.
You think Edge is more attractive than Charlotte?
Yeah.
Edge is always going to be sexier, yes.
Yeah, and here's the thing, though. We've also talked about Charlotte and how, if you had the opportunity to hook up with her, you wouldn't because...
She'd probably
kick
my ass.
Well, no, but you said it would be like, you keep thinking it was like you're doing Ric Flair, because of her look. But we all know if we had the opportunity to do Charlotte like you, if you had to do Charlotte to meet Edge, you would do it then.
If someone made me have sex with Charlotte to hang out with Shawn Michaels for 5 minutes, I probably would too.
So you're Shawn Michaels, right?
Yeah, I'm a Shawn Michaels guy, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, and we're going to get into that when we interview him in a couple minutes here. But
that's fine, yeah.
We're all men here. I don't think – nobody ever said that I wouldn't have sex with Charlotte. I just don't find her to be as attractive as, I don't like any of the girls right now. I mean, of course, when I was younger, like I said, Lita had the Trailer Park Hot Allure with the thong showing and all that. You had the Stacy Keiblers, if you like the tall girls, even though she sucked in the ring, but regardless, you had the Tori Wilsons, who also sucked in the ring. But then you had like the weird, like the Mickey James and the Molly Hollies, and you had the Victorias, who were just strange, but were kind of attractive in their own way. Now you've got, I think actually, honestly, the biggest smoke show in the business, and again, this show has deteriorated into something really sexist, and I apologize, but that the hottest smoke show in the business right now, hands down, is Alexa Bliss on SmackDown. I mean, I would go to jail for the things I would do to Alexa Bliss.
Who's your all-time favorite diva, or all-time favorite woman, that you want to say diva or whatever?
All-time?
I would have to be Paige.
Paige?
Paige. Yeah, he loves Paige. He has a man crush on Paige. How about you answer
like
first, and then I'll think about it.
My all time is Sonny. And my current.
Wait, how old are
Sasha?
You?
I'm 30.
So you even remember Sonny?
Sonny? Yeah, I remember Sonny.
Well, the thing about Sonny though.
I'm an early '90s fan.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Sonny, she was married to Chris Candido, but she was, she was doing every guy in the locker room like Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
Right.
I mean, if she was a washing machine, I'd shove in my load, but,
There you
what?
Oh, man. Yeah, Sonny's my all-time. Sasha is my current, my in-the-moment. Sasha Banks is my end.
So it's nice. It's nice to see the female version of Braun Strowman facing somebody besides jobbers here, which is really nice because I mean Nia Jax has just been dominating nobodies. Now she wasn't. Has she been around before? That's not. I think I remember her from TNA, if I remember correctly. Was she in TNA?
That might be true.
Or
Impact,
I'm not
sure.
Whatever they call themselves.
I think actually, yeah,
she looks familiar.
I think it might be Impact. A buddy of mine, I think, told me that about her. I don't know that for sure, but that does sound familiar.
Yeah, she looks like it. Yeah, and I remember they had this girl, Awesome Kong, who was you want to talk about smoke shows? I mean, yes, Alexa Bliss is hot. She's tiny. She's like 5'1", but yeah, she's hot. And obviously you've got who's the other one? Carmine over there, Carmilla, whatever her name is.
Oh, Carmella.
She's hot.
Carmella,
obviously,
yeah.
Obviously Becky Lynch. But you want to talk about smoke shows? Look, you remember the beautiful people from Impact Wrestling? Velvet Sky? Oh,
yeah.
My God. I mean, Velvet Sky is another one that is just like,
good Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, now, another situation with her tag partner, Angelina Love, another one whose face was like, ugh, but it's okay because all the faces look the same when they're in a pillow, so it's fine. But again, just thinking about guys here, just being guys being guys. And for those female listeners, I do apologize. But it regardless, the reason why I'm going into this is the headline of last night was a women's Hell in a Cell match. Now, as you know, you've heard the last couple of weeks, we were talking about how a women's Hell in a Cell match was going to go over. Was there going to be blood? Was it just going to be a normal women's match with a cage around it? What was going to be the case? Was it going to be exciting? Was it going to be worthy of being a main event match? And honestly, it was the match itself was pretty cool, but I think all three of us were pretty disappointed with the ending.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, the whole pay-per-view pissed me off.
Amen.
And
what
is that?
I'll tell you, first thing, the first Hell in a Cell match with Rusev and I thought that was the best one of the night, okay? And first off, three main events in a Hell in a Cell match is overkill, first off, okay?
A bit so, yes.
I'm so pissed off talking about this between Rusev and Roman Reigns. That was the best of the three. Okay, it was brutal, and I thought we were going to see blood in that one, and we didn't. Then we had Mr. Kevin Owens, you Winnipeg POS, you know, and his, you know. Oh,
can I interject real quick? Why do you guys hate Kevin Owens so much?
Well,
I don't hate Kevin Owens as Kevin Owens. I hate him as world champion.
He's the worst champion ever. Yeah, why? How?
He is. He's a Winnipeg POS. Him and Chris Jericho, I'll tell you what, their honeymoon pisses me off. And Jericho, the whole Canadian Degeneration X is just.
Well, how's this any worse than Rollins with J&J Security and Kane?
Well, you see, he doesn't look like a champion. I mean, you look at the guys like when we grew up, the Attitude Era, the Stone Colds, the Rocks, the Triple H's, the Undertakers. They looked like champions. Guys like Shawn Michaels, John Cena, Edge. Yes, Edge. Look the part. Whereas this guy's just, I mean, he comes to the ring in a cut-off T-shirt and shorts. I mean, Stone Cold did, but Stone Cold had the redneck look about him that was kind of like badass. This guy doesn't have any badass qualities. I mean, he's just an overweight dude who, you know, comes to the ring. It's like me or Icon or Dave or any of us just coming to the ring. He looks like a normal dude. He doesn't look like the Universal Champion.
Yeah,
he's
just this roly-poly jackass, you know? And he's hanging out with Chris Jericho.
Well, I like the jackass persona.
Yeah, because he plays it up. He plays that really well.
Yeah, I like the jackass persona because, I mean, I think the best heel and the best heel champion of all time was Triple H. And, I mean, you remember from when Triple H first joined the corporation all the way through the McMahon-Helmsley regime into Evolution, all of that. I mean, he was a hell of a heel. I mean, he was arguably the best heel champion ever. And I'll fight to the death on that. But, you know, I just don't think Kevin Owens has the heel champion persona. I mean, he does. He's a dick, but he's just not. He's not the same. And, oh, look at this. All right, real quick, I'm going to interject, and we have a caller real quick, and it's a surprise. Well, not so much of a surprise, but a caller. I've been disappointed in recent weeks about how all the faces win every single match. Mm-hmm. When back in the day, the heels would win a couple, and then, you know, now Nia Jax just beat Bayley, which is good, because I was like, there's no reason Bayley should be beating Nia Jax right now, and Jax did it, so good. So a familiar voice that all of you have heard here on Off the Ropes, somebody actually liked this pay-per-view. Jason, what did you like about this pay-per-view?
What's going on, guys? How's everybody doing?
What's up, bud?
Oh, we're good. Another Halloween night, Monday night Raw, and another subpar Raw, in my opinion. But I mean, you actually enjoyed the Hell in a Cell match. You enjoyed the women's Hell in a Cell match, the whole pay per view as a whole. Obviously, you heard Icon just say that, you know, it pissed him off. What was so bad about so good about the Hell in a Cell, in your opinion?
I thought the orders of the Hell in a Cell were perfect. You wanted to have Reigns and have start the show, which they did a decent job at that. I think it was too soon to take the belt off of Reigns, which is smart, great booking. I thought, actually enjoyed the Kevin Owens match. I actually think Kevin Owens is not the best heel right now in the WWE. I think that's Charlotte. I think we have to give Charlotte her props. She's the best heel in the company right now at this very moment. I just think the list is over. I think Jericho's more over than Kevin Owens. And I said it a couple weeks ago, that's the problem with Raw. You have your champion not being over. You have his buffer being more over than he is. And Seth Rollins is a terrible babyface. So I think that's the problem with Raw in a nutshell. But again, I think the booking was great. I actually even enjoyed the tag team match. As much as we've been saying that New Day needs to drop the belt, the way they ended the booking last night was brilliant because it didn't make it seem like Cesaro and Sheamus was going to split up. It was actually, you know, legit, you know, interference from New Day that cost them that match. So maybe something down the line could be happening. So maybe we could get a Cesaro Sheamus being a champ real soon. But I thought it was a good pay-per-view. It's been better than it's been lately.
I have a major issue with the whole Sheamus Cesaro thing because there's already that like screwy oddball pairing in WWE, and it's their tag champs on Tuesday nights. The whole Rhino Heath Slater thing, to me, it's like the same thing.
Two
whack job tag team partners be your champions on both shows. Like, you need a legit tag team, and I know you guys aren't high on New Day, but or Jay is at least, but at least they're a friggin' actual tag team. You know what I mean? Like, this whole like the Heath Slater Rhino thing, it's funny, it works there. You know what I mean? But you can't have both your tag team champions be, oh man, look at this, oh shot, you know, like it's just that you need actual tag team credibility to hold at least one of the two titles.
But that's the problem with Raw. You're right, New Day is the only tag team that's over. Enzo and Cass, they seem like they're becoming jobbers. You already ran through the club. You're not promoting. What happened to Epico and Primo? I don't even see them anymore. So Raw kind of like shooting themselves in the foot.
That's true. Is this the worst tag team division like between two shows ever in wrestling?
Oh, hands down. Yeah, I think
easy,
so.
Easy,
hands down. Yeah.
Here's the thing about the tag team division. The tag team division is not going to heat up now until after New Day breaks Demolition's record. They will then lose the title, and then the tag team division will get legitimate again. But it's not going to happen until after that record has been broken.
Right. I agree.
You know, and the thing I did not like about the Kevin Owens Hell in a Cell match is with Jericho running in, when are we going to see a title match not have a screwed up ending? It's ridiculous. All the championship matches lately have been ending screwed up in the men's division. You know?
Well, it's almost like they can't make up their mind who they want to, you know, what direction they want to go in, it seems like.
But you know,
I mean,
the writing real quick.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, direction real quick. What happened last night is an initial indication to move that they're not doing Triple H and Rollins until WrestleMania. I don't know about you guys, but that's how I feel right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, yeah, and I could have swore that we were going to see Triple H last night, and we didn't.
Yeah, you did swear that, and you know, as soon as that match started, I was like, yep, this is what's going to happen. Triple H is going to come out. And then I heard Jericho's music, and I was like, all right, I'm a bit disappointed. I mean, I didn't want to see Jericho. I wanted to see Triple H.
If only we had a structure, they could keep Chris Jericho out. Like, if they could put Owens and Rollins in a structure where Jericho couldn't get it. Oh, wait a minute. That's what the point of the friggin' Hell in a Cell was last night. I hate that they keep turning on their own stipulations. Like, it's just, oh, it's awful. So bad.
I mean, there's a reason why it's supposed to be Hell in a Cell. So no one can interfere in the matchup. And it happens.
It always does. And it's like the Rollins, who was it? Rollins and Randy Orton about a year ago, where it was supposed to be no RKO and no authority interference. And instead they made Kane the gatekeeper and Seth Rollins the RKO to win. Like, stop turning on your own stipulations, which make the match interesting. You know what I mean? So now, like, by the time the end of the match happened, I was like, okay, they don't give a shit about their own rules. You know, like, it just felt so, like...
Yeah, but you saw that a lot with, like, the McMahon-Helmsley regime and shit like that, where, you know, they would make Pat Patterson the special belt, the timekeeper. They'd make Shane the special guest referee. They'd make Gerald Briscoe the, you know, the special, you know, ring announcer.
Yeah,
you know,
well, good screw job. But when you're making a rule to try and eliminate the situations that have made the matches boring previously, and then you just say, ah, screw it, we're going to do it anyway and make this match equally as boring. It just seems so so simple and so, like, it's just such a cop-out for them.
Well, I think everything has been boring lately. I just don't think that now that they're in the PG era that they are allowed to have some of the crazy finishes that keep you on edge and make you go, oh, my God, because, you know, it's just – they just people will get so mad and upset about it. I mean, people will bitch and complain. I mean, it's social media. You know, social media is going to be the death of us all when it comes to this because, you know, it's positive in some ways and it helps people in some ways, but it also is an avenue for people to complain. And being a publicly traded company, they can't afford anybody being upset and losing fans over this. They want to appease everybody, and that's why you have basically like watching a Men in Tights kids show edition. You know, that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
It's,
you know,
it's like a Nickelodeon version.
Yeah, the other thing we talked about is this Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. These three matches were not going to be the Hell in a Cell that we were used to. And
oh, no,
they
not at all.
You know, with the PG era, why would you have a Hell in a Cell match? You can't have any blood. Okay, so you had Rusev bring out a chain and chew on the chain to show everybody that it was real. And you had him put it through, you had him use it against Roman Reigns in a submission hold. You know? Okay, so what? You know? If you can't have a Hell in a Cell like a Hell in a Cell match should go through, then you should not have had a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. You should have had a Halloween Havoc, period. Don't insult my intelligence.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with it. I just think, I just think the three of us and the four of us now on the line have been spoiled with some of the best Hell in a Cell matches you're ever going to see ever. I mean, obviously the Shawn Michaels Undertaker one where Kane first debuted, that was a good one. And then, you know, obviously you're going to see the Mankind Undertaker match that really set the tone for Hell in a Cell matches, or obviously where he goes off the top of the cage and you know the whole thing I'm talking about, 98 at King of the Ring.
Right.
And then you've got the Triple H Cactus Jack one. You know, you've got the Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, Undertaker, Edge, Undertaker, whoever. I mean, you've had some very good Hell in a Cell matches. And then you've had some ones that haven't been very good at all. So I think we've been spoiled, and I think everybody's looking for that moment that you know, Mankind off the cage kind of a moment that you're just not going to see anymore. They're just not going to put bodies at risk like that anymore, with this concussion protocol stuff they have and you know, superstar safety. And you're just not going to see a lot of that anyway because they don't want kids to be as, you know, as exposed, I guess, is the word, to that kind of violence. So,
yeah, but
I would take
the WrestleMania Hell in a Cell match over any of the three last night.
Oh, the one with Shane and Undertaker?
Shane McMahon. Yeah, that match was like...
Yeah, that was actually a relatively interesting match.
Yeah.
Right, and that was this year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, they can do it. I just wonder if they don't have the... Like, I know Charlotte wanted to go off the top, and it doesn't make sense to send a woman, like, off the top. Like, I get that. But I don't know if they have as many people like a Shane McMahon or, you know, obviously Mankind, which, like, there shouldn't be more than one person like him walking on this earth safely. But Shane wanted to do it. I don't know if there's a lot of guys in that locker room right now that are like, yeah, let's do that. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, Shane's always been a risk taker. Right. That's what I mean. Like,
Shane's always been a risk taker. I mean,
who would you assume in the locker room now is, though, like, other than Shane McMahon? Who on the roster do you think would do that?
I think if there was a paycheck involved, there would be a lot of them. You know,
I think that.
You know what?
Yeah.
The one guy I could see doing it is not on the roster right now. That's Finn Balor. I could see Finn Balor doing it.
Finn would do it. Yeah, that's a really good call. That is a good call. I like that.
I could see that.
Yeah, well, Finn could do it, and I think Seth Rollins even would do it, honestly. And another guy I could see doing it, Dean Ambrose. I mean, he's a crazy bastard. I could see him doing it.
He's not over on me, Ambrose. He's not over. I'm not buying that.
No? You're not buying the whole lunatic asylum or whatever?
Nah.
Ambrose Asylum?
Nah, I'm not buying it.
He's a poor man, Steve Austin.
He's the most lost.
He's not even really
lost
Steve
identity.
Austin.
Yeah, he's a mix between Cactus Jack, White Trash, and the guy that lives down the street from me. Like, he's just boring. He's so boring.
I hate
his character.
I was gonna say, you know what? He reminds me of Sandman from ECW.
Yeah, kind of.
I can see it.
Do
you guys
like
think AJ Styles would do it?
Styles,
do you guys think AJ Styles would do it?
I think he would. But, you know, there's I know this may be a little off topic, but because, you know, Chris, you claim to be the ultimate Edge fan, and you're not even going to congratulate him on getting married this weekend, Beth Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
No, because it wasn't to me. So
yeah,
that's why.
And you're not even
going to
wish him a happy birthday?
That I was going to do, yes. But honestly, like I said, I'm trying to put myself on mute and shooing kids out of here. Like I said, I stepped away from my Halloween party to do the show, so kids keep coming in, going, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Get the fuck out of here, go!" You know. So I got a lot going on that I'm not really focused. But yes, happy birthday, Edge. And getting married, hey, congratulations. You know, I mean, Beth Phoenix, I think you could have done better, but, you know, it's your call. I mean,
Beth Phoenix, she has
a pretty face, but she's a big one.
It's actually Beth Copeland now, but anyway.
Oh, whatever.
I'm sorry, I just had to throw that out to kind of shake you off your Edge crush because... You know, he did invite you to the wedding, and, you know, you didn't get to go to the surprise birthday party put on by Christian. You know, I just had to throw that out there.
Well, that's another tag team. We talked about the tag team division. I loved Edge and Christian back in the day.
You know,
for the benefit of those with my photography. I did. And then when Christian became the creepy little bastard that Stone Cold tagged him as, I started not liking Christian as much. But, I did enjoy that tag team for a little while anyway, until they split them up and they went their separate ways. But, yeah, I enjoyed it. I was with it for sure.
I mean, I did love them as a tag team. Yes, I myself loved Edge and Christian as a tag team. I thought they were great. You know, I even loved Edge and Christian back in the Brood days. You know,
yeah.
I thought them coming up from the bottom of the ring with Gangrel, I thought that was just awesome. You know.
Well, the Brood, hell yeah! I mean, the Brood is always going to be awesome. I'll give you this. I love Edge, sure, yes, as we all know. I have Man Crush Mondays as Edge, whatever, fine. But I know. But I was huge into the Undertaker's role when he became – now, I'm not talking Undertaker in the tights and the purple boots that you know him from 95, 96. I'm talking Undertaker in 98, 97, 98, when he started to become the Lord of Darkness. I really, really loved that persona and that character. And then, you know, when Kane debuted and the whole thing. And then the Ministry of Darkness was brilliant. I loved it. And I just, you know, I felt like that character, when they brought back the American Badass, you know, I was a little bit disappointed. So I would say that my first real love affair in WWE from a stable standpoint or from a craziness standpoint was probably the Ministry of Darkness or you know, the Undertaker. I was an Undertaker fan before I was an Edge fan because Undertaker was there before Edge was. So
the Ministry
that's why.
Had
but I was
the creepiest moment of my entire childhood when they tried to sacrifice Stephanie. That
oh yeah, I
that,
lo- I love that.
That whole segment,
yeah, the Black Wedding,
it would give me nightmares. Yeah, like oh yeah, that was so creepy. That was the creepiest segment on TV.
You know, the interesting thing about that night is we had when that happened, I was live at Monday Nitro because it was here in Fargo, so I had to watch it on replay.
Oh wow!
And I'll never forget that. That was the night. The only night that the WCW Heavyweight Championship changed hands three times in one night. That's Fargo's claim to fame in wrestling. That's also on the Best of Monday Night Raw DVD, live from Fargo, North Dakota.
Guys,
no
something you won't see anymore as well. We talked about things you're not going to see anymore in this current PG era, and I don't know how we got to this. We were talking about women's matches, but anyway, we'll do the nice segue. Dustin brought up a good point when he just messaged me. We talked about Dave said his creepiest moment of his childhood was the Black Wedding. I don't think so. In fact, I thought it was cool. It wasn't creepy
to
me,
cool.
But it was cool.
It was cool. Eerie.
Yeah, well, that's true. It was very eerie. But, no, Dustin brought up to me when Boss Man got hung from the top of the cage.
Oh, yeah.
That is something
you know,
can't do anymore either. You would never see.
You know what was creepy?
Yeah.
I don't know if this might be a little pre before you guys, but Scott, I'm pretty sure you remember this. When Papa Shango made the Warrior paint, all of a sudden just started coming down, pouring down.
Oh yeah, that was a while before that. Yeah, Papa
yeah.
Shango. That's old school.
That is
okay.
Old. That is old.
But that was kind of creepy as well.
Yeah, that was creepy.
I would say to me, the weirdest moment to me that just still gives me goosebumps when I go back on the network and watch was during the Kane and Undertaker feud when Kane and now. Again, I know now that it's kayfabe. I know now that it's all part of the storyline. But when I was, you know, a kid, I mean, hell, 98, I was 10 years old, okay? So I'm watching this as a 10-year-old kid, and they have Undertaker's dead parents, and they bring out the casket, and Kane chokeslams Undertaker through his own parents' casket.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And then Paul Bearer lights the casket on fire. That, was to me, was real creepy.
Holy cow, I forgot all about that. Yeah, that was nuts.
My whole favorite thing about that whole field was the Inferno match where they surrounded the ring full of fire.
Yep. That was
the Inferno
I forgot all about that with his parents. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, and then when Paul Bearer and Kane smashed the headstones with the sledgehammer.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah, that's like 20 years ago. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah,
98. Yeah, it was 18.
Yeah, 18 years ago. Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, the other thing that started it all was, if you guys remember this, the Paul Bearer interview with Vince McMahon when he said, "You murdered your family, Undertaker. You're a murderer. You're a goddamn murderer." That's what started it all.
Yep.
And, you know, you won't ever see good promos like that again either.
Well, Paul Bearer, Paul Bearer to me. Huh?
Oh, no, I was going to say, if I can ask a really random question, but speaking of Paul Bearer, did you guys ever hear that, you ever see like the holographic concert they did with Tupac?
Yes.
Did you ever hear that they were going to do that with Paul Bearer and he was going to walk the Wyatt family down?
I did not hear that.
I heard that a while ago, a couple years ago, I think it was when Bray Wyatt fought The Undertaker, that supposedly they were going to have Paul Bearer walk on the side of the Wyatts with a holographic thing.
Yeah,
and
but
that
wouldn't they need Percy Pringle's family's approval to do that? I don't know if they would give the approval.
Yeah, that might be the snag. Maybe that's why they didn't do it, yeah.
But guys, now Dave, I don't know what your insider information is. I know Jason's sort of an insider. He knows a lot of rumors and things like that before they happen. Same thing with Icon. He knows a lot about the history and the insider stuff. Guys, fun question for you here. Like what I just mentioned to you with the family thing and the whole, you know, headstone smashing and chokeslamming through the caskets and all that, lighting caskets on fire, that whole storyline, and all of Undertaker's creepy shit that he did, whether it was the Black Wedding, the sacrificing Stone Cold up on the thing there, the whipping of Edge and Gangrel. I mean, those kind of things. Do you think Undertaker had free reign of his character at the time? Because I know Taker was, at that point, was like a 20-year man almost, and had been, you know, solely in charge of, during meetings, saying, "I want to do this, I don't want to do that." But do you think during some of the more intense and extreme things that he did he have free reign, or are you going to credit that to a lot of the creative people they had at the time?
Well, no. The Undertaker's always had most creative control over his character. But unlike Hulk Hogan, he was never one to play the creative control card. He would give his ideas, and they'd say, "Well, let's tweak a little bit and do this." And then, you know, The Undertaker's always been pretty much in control of his own character.
That was my question. Has he had the control to be able to say, "I don't want to do that," or "I want to do this, I want to go this route," or was it always more of a, always more of a creative telling him, "Listen, you're going to do this," or, you know, and that's final kind of a thing.
Right. Yeah. He's always been in control.
All right. Well, see, that's good to know. See, that's why I have you guys around. I mean, you're basically my on-air interns. I love that. So, so my thing here is another thing, real quick, and I don't know how we got off the Hell in the Cell into this, but another thing that I found to be kind of creepy was when Undertaker. Do you notice his look? The way his look changed from when he was the, you know, in 98 when he was just huge. He was just an imposing force. And then he started to have the pointed beard and the slick back hair. In 99, he looked totally different. Obviously, 2000, he came back, you know, as the American Badass. But, you know, I just – do you think that he, you know – I don't know. Do you think that he was the one who brought up the American Badass idea?
Yeah, because he was he was just recently married, and clean up his image a little bit, you know. Then he came back
true.
As the old school Undertaker, but the one look of his that I did not like is when he came back with the Mohawk looking hairstyle. You know, when he came to the ring with a hood on, then he took it.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was
like,
that was weird.
That
you
was
know,
weird.
And it was also the Undertaker's idea for Brock Lesnar to end the streak too.
Was it?
Yeah, the Undertaker.
That I think I know. That I think I remember. I remember hearing actually.
Yeah, the Undertaker had a lot of respect for Brock Lesnar, and he said, it's time, you know. But the one thing that pisses me off about that, Brock Lesnar is a good talent, obviously. Okay. However, if he was going to lose the streak, I mean, there could have been someone else better that he could have lost it to. I mean, he beat Shawn Michaels twice. He beat Triple H with Shawn Michaels as the guest referee. You know, I mean, there's other guys that they could have had beat the streak. You know, hell, even bring back Goldberg to do it, you know? I mean, but not Brock Lesnar. I mean,
you gotta remember, Vince was very high on Brock Lesnar. Like, that was going to be, he was supposed to be Cena. And when Brock, you know, turned away.
Brock Lesnar was a gopher, though. I mean, come on.
You can't have a gopher do that.
You never have a gopher beat The Undertaker. Hell, NDSU would never lose to the Gophers. I mean, come on. Seriously? You know?
I couldn't see anybody in the roster. Not even John Cena. I couldn't see anybody in the roster give it to. I get why give it to Brock Lesnar, because Brock is just that. He's that attraction. You have to do that.
You know, I'll tell you,
and I agree with him.
Yeah, this may seem like out of my realm, but I would have much rather had Edge beat The Undertaker in the streak.
Well, I mean, Edge did cash in Money in the Bank on him twice, so that's good enough.
Yeah.
Now, guys, just for the sake of moving this along a little bit on the special Halloween edition, due to the fact that I have kids up my ass, I'm going to move this along a little bit because this is going to be a little bit shorter of a show than normal. But real quick, if I had to ask you guys, what was your favorite I don't want to say favorite. I'm going to shift gears. Who will The Undertaker's opponent be? Because I've seen promos left and right now, but Undertaker being back at WrestleMania. I'm going to ask Dave, because we did this last week, and Jason and Icon both thought it was going to be Sting. Who is going to
be
Undertaker's final opponent? What makes you say it is going to be? Like,
yeah,
who's going to be his final opponent?
Do you have a credible source there that is that a definite?
Well, I'm the Icon. I don't need a credible source.
Okay, all right. So I'll jot it in. I'll lock it in then. It's going to be Sting. I never freaking thought of Sting at all until I listened to the podcast. And then I was like, shit, it's going to be Sting. Like, you guys totally convinced me. It's got to be Sting. I don't see anybody else. It can't be Brock again. And Triple H would be cool, I guess. But they're going to do Rollins.
It has to be John Cena.
Because
those two never really crossed paths where Cena was Cena. They crossed paths before Cena took off, but Cena in his peak, that was the only person he never got to fight.
Yeah, but Sting and Undertaker never got a chance either. So why do you think Cena instead of Sting?
I think Cena, Cena's coming towards the end of his career, and there's no one left for him to conquer.
The reason why it's going to be Sting is we all remember the glory days and the Monday Night Wars. Sting stayed with WCW his whole career. The Undertaker stayed and never jumped ship. I mean, that is the dream matchup, and Sting has said that he has unfinished business in the WWE, and if you guys want me to come back for one more match, it will have to be The Undertaker.
I agree with that. The fact that he said he has one more match, or unfinished business, I do feel like it's going to be Undertaker, but the whole, he's a WCW guy, and he's to face a WWE guy, that was Triple H. We did that 2 years ago.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, Triple H came from WCW.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
Right. Sting stayed there. The Undertaker stayed, and you know, neither of them
and
jumped ship, but they both had
the
opportunity.
The two matches Sting had in WWE, he did not look good, and I don't want to see 60-plus guys in the ring. At least Cena can help carry that match and make him look credible.
Well,
that's kind of
well, you want to know something funny?
Well, what about Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan? That's two 50-year-old guys that went at it.
You want to hear something funny here, Icon? My inside source is telling me that WWE Creative is going to give everybody blue balls because you're going to want Sting, or some people are going to want Cena, but you're going to want something like that, a Sting, a Cena, a big match. My inside source is telling me that WWE Creative, since they suck so badly now, and if they are listening, yes, you suck so badly now, it is going to be
Rollins. I want to say about
WWE
Creative, especially the one that's listening right now, you guys all should be fired, and you should hire us, because we would do a hell of a much better job than any of you clowns, you know?
Hell in a Cell was so bad last night. That made me not want to watch Raw tonight. It was so bad last night.
What would you think? What would you guys think about it possibly being Bray Wyatt?
They already did that.
Yeah, but I'm saying the new face of Fear versus the old face of Fear at WrestleMania. Or how about a guy like a Braun Strowman?
I'd be all right with Braun. I'd rather Braun than Bray.
Not ready.
He's not ready. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I'd rather
Braun
than
Bray. I'll tell you what. Speaking of Braun Strowman, they had him in a battle royal tonight. I mean, that guy is so misused, and it's so sickening. I just, you know, send him over to SmackDown. Let him be with his brothers, you know, and bring Dean Ambrose over to Raw. Switch him up. Reunite the Shield. Reunite the Wyatt family and
the lunatic
crew. Stop insulting our intelligence.
Well, speaking of switches, I'm not sure if you guys know, but one of the stipulations for the Survivor Series is the winning brand gets to take two guys from the other brand.
Yeah.
Right after Survivor Series, so maybe we might see. I personally think we're going to see the club going over to SmackDown, which makes perfect sense.
Or the Wyatts coming back to
AJ. But that's not happening. That's the best. That stable that has a future on SmackDown.
Yeah, if you bring the club and have
that.
The Wyatts or two thirds or whatever, three quarters of the Wyatts on SmackDown, and have the club, that 3-on-3 is good. That's legit. That's a good matchup. Little like a little mini faction battle there.
You know, there's one other thing that we haven't touched on. You know, speaking of the Wyatt family, with Randy Orton turning on Kane and saying, "If you can't beat him, join him."
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
Would they really have Randy Orton join the Wyatt family? Seriously?
Well,
I have
a picture from the house show that I sent Dave already. I'm going to send it to the rest of you guys. It's pretty legit. It's going to be a little bit better than the way they use Daniel Bryan. I kind of like it. I like Wyatt RKO. I like the ring of that.
Yeah, yeah. I like the idea of
actually,
Bray
Dave,
Wyatt doing
forgot.
His upside down walk, and then Randy doing the spin drop where he does where he's slamming his hands, getting ready for the RKO. Like, imagine having Wyatt one corner.
You guys forgot. You guys forgot something. You forgot something very important. You forgot that it would be the Wyatt RKO out of nowhere. You guys forgot
out of nowhere. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll tell you though. I
making sure you remember that.
This whole deal with Randy Orton joining the Wyatt family is like kind of like what John Cena did when he joined the Nexus. You know, I think that's what's happening here.
Kind of infiltrate from within.
For sure. It's definitely possible.
It's doing a far better job with the storyline. So, to me, you know, Charlotte came out talking about weakest link. I don't have to say Dean Ambrose has been the weakest link on the SmackDown roster. Wouldn't you guys
agree? Dean Ambrose is the most overhyped superstar. It's fucking trash.
You think so, huh?
I hate Dean Ambrose. He's so boring. His moveset sucks. His finisher sucks. His mic skills are
mediocre. You don't like Dirty Deeds?
No, I don't like Dirty Deeds. I don't.
Dirty Deeds is basically an Impaler DDT. That's really all it is.
Exactly. Yeah,
you know?
It's a mediocre move that's overused. Yeah.
And you know, speaking of boring, why is Chris Jericho versus Roman Reigns the main event?
Yeah, that's a it's for the U.S. Championship, but yeah, that's boring. It is boring.
You know why it's for the main event? It's a slow tease, a Shield, a halfway Shield reunion, because you know Rollins is going to come out and pretty much make a save again.
You really want that Shield reunion?
I don't.
Oh, you do?
I do. Look, tell me one you know, what is the most dominating group right now in the WWE? There isn't one. I mean, if you guys, I don't know if you guys watched the, got the DVD about the greatest factions in the WWE history. I mean, Shield and the Wyatts were, I believe, 1 and 2 or 2 and 3 or something like that. Then as soon as that DVD came out, they broke those groups up. What the hell were they thinking?
We need to have
a good group of dominant people. You know, I'm not talking about making like the NWO again or DX again, but you know, you need to get a group together that's going to wreak havoc on the WWE.
What would be wrong with the NWO? Like, I think that they should be perfect. I think you only need one.
Well, I love the NWO back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like the version when it came over to WWE.
Oh no, yeah, right. Me neither.
That just was. I mean, it just wasn't the same because back when the NWO was formed, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash and Hollywood Hulk Hogan. You know, it's like back then you did not know what was going to happen. You know. Because there was not big-time internet back in those days on what was going on. But when they came back to the WWE, you know, you could read about what they were planning. So it just, the circle was broken. And I love seeing the guys, but the circle was not the same. It was broken.
Yeah, that makes sense. Chris, I'm sorry, man. We haven't done, like, any of the agenda here.
Like, No. That happens. It gets sidetracked a lot, and normally I'm cool with it because normally we would have, you know, an hour still left to go, but we only probably have about 30 minutes or whatever until these kids finally barge in the door. So let's do this. Let's look – and actually, in a weird way, we really kind of have covered a lot of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we have kind of
you know,
been
telling the cells and all that. I mean, in like a weird way. So I'm cool with it. Dave, let me ask you this. You grew up then. Are you spoiled by the Attitude Era like we are?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Totally ruined.
Are you in agreement that Jim Ross is the best broadcaster in of any sport in history?
Any sport.
Oh, that's no question.
Yeah, any NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, whatever. It's Jim Ross, probably Marv Albert. What's the guy name now? Not Jim Nance.
What does he do?
He does football. He did the Patriots Super Bowl against the Seahawks and Malcolm Butler with the intercept. I can't think of his name now.
Al Michaels?
Not Al Michaels. No. Man, I can't believe this. I have such a man crush on him as an announcer too.
Well, hey, just as long as you don't say Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
No, Joe Buck. Yeah, they're Fox is
Joe
the worst. Buck, they have the worst presentation.
Yeah. Joe Buck can kiss my ass. You know that?
I've seen your photos, man. That is a lot of backside to kiss. And I know the answer to this because I asked you earlier off the air, but I think Dustin might pop a chubby here when you tell him this. But your favorite of all time, everyone knows I'm an Edge guy, but before that I was an Undertaker guy as well as Stone Cold. But who doesn't like Stone Cold? We know Jason, he has his favorites. I off the top of my head can't remember, but I know who it is. Like if I had to pass a test on it, I think I could get it. Icon, obviously, we know Scott Hall is his top guy. You are going to make Dustin get a new change of pants here. You are a big Shawn Michaels fan. Am I correct?
Yeah, the main event, the showstopper. Yeah, the most charismatic man in the world. Absolutely.
And Dustin is a huge, huge Shawn Michaels fan, which is partly why Dustin likes Seth Rollins, because he saw a lot of Shawn Michaels in him.
That's true.
Now, for me, I thought Rollins was a whiny bitch. I hated Seth Rollins. Shawn Michaels, to me, I didn't watch. I watched a lot of WCW because I don't know if you knew this, but maybe you have listening to the shows. But, you know, my aunt knows Hulk Hogan personally, so I was watching WCW. So I was watching WCW for a long time before I even got into WWE, so I didn't see a lot of Shawn Michaels' great moments. I mean, I saw his Hell in a Cell against The Undertaker where Kane debuted, and then I saw, you know, I watched all the way up until he lost the belt to Austin when he went out with a back injury. Besides that, I really didn't get to see a lot of Shawn Michaels, so I was really mad on Shawn Michaels.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's where my age comes in. I remember Shawn Michaels with Marty Jannetty and the Rockers.
Yeah, the best heel turn of all time. That was the best heel turn ever.
Yeah, when he had the heel turn when he threw him through the plate glass window.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the best heel turn in history. Yeah, yeah. What was it? Beefcake.
The barbershop.
Now, so I didn't get to see a lot of Shawn Michaels. Now, I did like, you know, sporadically they brought him back here and there. But, you know, again, he wasn't my guy. Now, what was it about Shawn Michaels that sort of got you tingly?
All right, there's a couple things here. Before I go backwards on Shawn Michaels, I'm going to look forward for 1 second. He will super kick somebody at Royal Rumble. Just throw that out there as a prop bet.
Okay.
Because in the Alamo Dome, he's going to be there. There's actually some rumors saying that he's going to try, or they're going to face him up with AJ Styles for a championship match. So we'll see. But what won me over about Shawn Michaels was that he was the total package. Like, he was a mix of strength and high flyer. He was tough. He was resilient. His super kick was the best super kick in history.
Sweet chin music. Yeah.
Oh, the sweet chin music. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It looked so real every time. Like 99% of his sweet chin music were just like on the money, and it just looked awesome.
And you could hear, I don't know if you can hear this in the mic, but you could hear the
smack.
You hear the clap
you could hear
him make the contact, which was interesting as well. So
it sounded good. It looked good. He just was the man for a long time. And he was actually like there's a couple things that Vince McMahon loves in wrestling. And it's third generation Samoan wrestlers and Roman Reigns. And the first thing with him was with Shawn Michaels, because, like, you know, he's part of the ladder match with Razor Ramon for the Intercontinental title. He was in the first Hell in a Cell. He's in the first Elimination Chamber. He's in the first Iron Man match.
And he was the first guy to win all the titles, too.
First guy to win all the titles. Yeah, that's right.
Would you say that, like, his emotions, his body language, like the little things, like, I'll give you an example, like
he
running from
all.
Stone Cold for the first 2 minutes of the WrestleMania match, you know,
right.
just like annoyingly hilarious things, like annoyingly hilarious is what I would tag him as. And then, like, his bumps were second to none. I also really liked a lot of his promos he did with Triple H, like when Triple H was The Rock and Shawn Michaels was, I forgot who Michaels was being, but when DX did their thing, I liked that. I enjoyed that. What did you feel about? I know you said you went away from wrestling for a while. Did you see a lot of Shawn Michaels during the 04, 03, 04, 02, 03, 04 time period?
I missed feuding with Triple H? I missed a lot of that, like the breakup and makeup, and then the ambush by Triple H on Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, you gotta go on the network.
I watched
check it out.
It. Yeah, I went on the network. I went back and watched it, but I missed it live. And then I also missed the Ric Flair retirement match too, which was a big one.
Where he says I'm sorry.
I love you.
And then kicks
I'm sorry.
Him.
I love you. Yeah. And he kicks him. Yeah. Yeah. And then I started going to Buffalo Wild Wings with a buddy of mine and to watch WrestleMania probably from 2008 on, 2009 maybe. And we would just do it for, like, nostalgia factor. Like, just go watch WrestleMania. And when he was the special referee for the Triple H Undertaker Hell in a Cell match. Or no, not Hell. Was that in the Hell in a Cell?
believe so.
At WrestleMania, yeah. And he accidentally super kicked him, the Undertaker, and he sat in the corner crying when he was referee. And I was like, oh my God. And I just totally freaked out again. I was like, God, I marked out, man. Like, I'm just such a Shawn Michaels.
How about in 2000 when Shawn Michaels was a special guest referee when the Undertaker returned in the Iron Man match and ended up giving the fall to Triple H, even though the buzzer had already sounded and people were saying it was like an inside conspiracy, you know?
Yep. And the fact that the screw job, the Montreal screw job, was his and Triple H's idea.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what,
that
was the time, that was the one of the few times I despised Shawn Michaels after they screwed Bret Hart, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean,
Bret Hart
was
a
big
dick
Bret
too,
Hart
though,
fan.
I heard.
What's
they
that?
Really hated each other, which is awesome. That's what makes that
well,
so
yeah,
awesome
true.
To me.
You know, I mean, I was a Bret Hart fan. You know, I know he was bashing America at the time. And, see, he's from Canada. You know, everybody knows how I feel about, you know, I don't have a problem with other Canadians, just those from Winnipeg, except my friends. You know who you are. I know they're listening. I don't have any problems with you guys. But anybody else from Winnipeg? Yes, like the Gold Eyes. I don't like you, you know?
I was in Montreal this summer, and there was a street performer that said, I have three knives here, and I'm going to, like, he had three little swords, and he was going to juggle them. And he said, for those in Winnipeg, they count it as one, another one, lots. This is the perfect insult. It's so good.
Well, everybody knows how the icon feels about Winnipeg, so.
Yes, we do. And, you know, I'm going to wrap it here in a minute, but the last thing, too, was the significance of Goldberg. We saw Goldberg open the show with Paul Heyman tonight. Paul Heyman kind of, you know, went early April Fools and hit us in the head with his bag of Jew gold we thought Brock Lesnar was going to come out. But, dude, is Goldberg going to be long time here? Because here's my thing. Why would Rusev bother to come out if this isn't going to be a rivalry for the future?
That was a weird spot. That was really weird.
Yeah, I was not expecting that. I just kept on wondering why, you know? I mean, you know, Rusev, if you're going to come out and start some stuff, bring Lana with you. You know?
Hey, wait
yeah,
a minute.
Really.
Wait a minute. Guys.
Yeah,
wait a
early,
minute.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to cut you off here, but look what's happening in the ring right now.
I know. I'm watching. Yeah, this is crazy.
Now, do you guys remember when we talked about the Shield reuniting? Raw is going to win at Survivor Series. Dean Ambrose is going to come to Raw, and they're going to reform the Shield here. I'm telling you. I mean, look at this moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I get what's going on.
Have we not been saying for the last couple months that a Shield reunion was coming? Didn't we say that?
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. I don't know. I just don't see it.
I mean, it has to happen, you know?
And this does
There's nothing else worth watching.
Right. That's true. If Roman Reigns punches him right now, then your whole theory is busted.
No, it went off the air with them looking at each other. So let me ask you guys this then, for a final thing here, and then I got to step back to this party. But next week, I promise you, we'll be full, the full 2 hour main event. It'll be the full 2 hour main event. There's no holidays or nothing next week. So Dave, then, what would you say throughout wrestling? What year, and this is what I ask a lot of wrestling fans, because a lot of wrestling fans differ on this, and I know Icon's going to have a different opinion, but maybe that's an age thing. He's a little older than us. But what is the golden year for wrestling in WWE? What is the best year in your opinion?
A specific year. Oh, man, that's tough. What year was the screw job? Do you remember? Was that 96?
97.
97?
97
was pretty. That was a pretty good year.
Okay, I have to say 96, and the reason why I say 96 is that's when the NWO was formed. That's when the Monday Night Roars really started taking off. So it would have to be 96.
I'll take that. That's good. Yeah, that's if I could lump, like, from August
to August.
I
think it was 98, but I'll tell you why.
90? Why is that?
Well, I think it was 98
yeah, right.
because – well, I think it was – no. I think it was 98 because that was the year that we really saw the prominence and the rise of Stone Cold Steve Austin, who is, in my opinion, single-handedly the reason why we're watching WWE right now and not – WCW, the guy who brought them through the Monday Night Wars, the guy who put asses in seats, revolutionized wrestling, became arguably the biggest sports celebrity almost ever, I would say, and really...
No, he's not bigger than The Rock.
Well, okay, before The Rock, but he's up there, oh, yeah, man, but... because, I mean, you look at what he did between his battles with him and Vince in 98, brought wrestling, brought the Attitude Era, brought all of the good things that the Attitude Era brought to entertainment television, brought it out. And in my opinion, I go back and I try, man. I try to watch 94, 95, 96. Part of it is because JR is not really – I don't like McMahon as an announcer, you know. But also it's because it's just the exciting moments, driving the Zamboni in through the ring and going after McMahon, driving the monster truck over the Rock's limousine, the buried alive matches, the Hell in the Cell match. I know that wasn't Stone Cold, but still, you know, the right. The First Blood match, the whole thing of 98 really made the WWE or WWF at the time
what we all know and love.
What
about Stone Cold filling McMahon's car with cement?
Yeah, that was a good moment too. I know you gotta get going, but
that's all right.
As a collective,
did you guys know that car is in the top of the parking ramp at Trump Towers at Titan Towers?
I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that. As a collective, I guess, like Icon, Jay, Chris, everybody, I've had this argument for a long time as to who started the Attitude Era, and there's a buddy of mine that's a diehard Stone Cold fan, and obviously I'm a diehard Shawn Michaels fan. As a group here, I know, Chris, you just went on a whole monologue about how you feel like Stone Cold pushed him through that. I think the Click and DX kind of was the first ones to push the envelope as far as that goes.
Well, that's true.
Well, true, but here's the weird thing, and this is why I'm sort of now going back and thinking about it and being like, maybe I'm off here, because even when Stone Cold was doing it, WCW still won 83 consecutive weeks or whatever it is.
Yeah,
so,
that's
I mean,
true. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
the
so
most,
that's
the
why I'm like
was the DX takeover, right?
Yeah.
When they went
to the tanks.
Yeah.
That was because they were both in the same city, or they're both in like neighboring cities or something.
The North Fork Scope is where that happened at.
Back then
when WCW was starting to lose ground, WCW would have an event within 25 miles of where WWE was.
Right.
Now,
that's right.
Get fans in the stands. WCW was giving away tickets for free to fill up the stands.
Mm.
And, you know, the Operation DX was the turning point to get Raw back focused and beat WCW.
Yeah, because that snapped the 83-week streak, I think, that week.
Right, and then also, well, what ended the streak was the fake McMahon-Austin match on Monday Night Raw, where McMahon slapped Stone Cold and said, "You said you could beat Vince McMahon with one hand tied behind
your back." That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And then that's when we got Dude Love.
That's right.
Yep.
If I can throw a really random fact out there, just for talking about like cool moments that happened in the same city, where I'm from in Connecticut, do you guys remember when The Rock threw or either Stone Cold threw The Rock's belt into the river or vice versa. I can't remember.
No,
Rock threw Stone Cold's belt.
Yeah, that happened. That happened in the same river. It's like literally like 5 minutes from where
and,
I live.
Well, actually, Stone Cold threw the
belt. So you know where that bridge
first.
Is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, I take that bridge every day to work, yeah.
Yeah, Stone Cold threw the Rock's belt in the river first. Then a year later, the Rock threw Stone Cold's belt in the river.
Yeah, I can't remember which one happened here, but I know one of them happened. That one of them threw because they were at the Hartford Coliseum in Connecticut, and it's about a 30-minute ride out. And,
well, no, you're from Connecticut. I was going to ask you, did you take offense when JR was doing his heel turn and said, I'm driving through that overpriced hellhole, Connecticut, trying to tell my wife and my two little girls that their daddy had just been fired.
Yeah, he wasn't very far off. It's a really overpriced hellhole, that is true. And even tonight, you know, Raw is in Hartford. It's in Connecticut. So it's pretty good. I guess who was it that was making fun of
which
it earlier?
Which is why I'm surprised we didn't see Triple H or any of them tonight. Even,
yeah, they're
because,
right,
I mean,
around
they're
the
right
corner.
There.
Yeah,
where was Stephanie McMahon tonight? I can't believe it.
She's probably sleeping with Triple H.
Yeah,
But so I think that the dynamic was good. I mean, I think we have a lot of good wrestling history. Raw actually went off the air interestingly tonight, I think, because, you know, with this whole Shield thing and all this, I think it was an interesting way to end Raw. Despite not really starting all that well with Rusev coming out for whatever reason against Goldberg, it ended off pretty well. We hate the 3-hour segment, the 3-hour format. All that stuff kind of sucks. But this was one of those shows where I watch it and I go,
oh my God, who the hell cares?
Did you hear
that?
To a talk show like Talking Smack?
You know, I don't know what song that hate worse, that or Edge's theme song.
You know, I got one for you. You're from
up
by Minnesota, right? You're from up by Minnesota, right? You don't have the accent, but
yes.
I like this one.
Did you gals hear about Allie Gallagher? She let Alan Ackerman smack her in the back with his tallywhacker behind the snack shack.
What? Nobody here in Maryland understands a single word you're saying. You should move back to Minnesota.
I can't go back. I Snapchatted Matt Gackerack a Kodak on my ass crack.
So, I like that one, too.
That's pretty good.
So, right? That's a good one. That's the Minnesota accent, I call it. That's a good one. But anyway.
Yeah, it's called the yeah, you betcha accent.
Don't you know?
Hey, did you see
Don't
Daniel
you
Bryan
know?
Making fun of Raw for
how
doing the Talking Raw thing?
How you
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
How you doing?
Yeah.
One, two, this on.
Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
I remember when that music would start when I was a kid, and I'd be like, oh, shit, you know, because that's like, I think that music is even more iconic than this. Wouldn't you say so? I think it is.
Yeah,
well,
I think so.
You know,
it's a quick hit.
I still say the most iconic theme song, though, is one of Glass.
Well,
Break.
I don't. Well,
oh,
I said one was more iconic
movie
than the other. Well, obviously the best. No, I said one Triple H one was more iconic than the other Triple H one. Obviously, the most iconic theme music.
You think you know me?
Oh no!
I mean,
hey guys,
isn't
quit,
that just
I quit
amazing?
The podcast. I quit the podcast.
No, there was a time I used to love that theme song.
It's amazing.
But I have,
that's
I
why
have
you
to
loved
have it.
It
crammed up my ass every week.
That's true.
It's amazing. Listen, that is a suppository
Edge.
At this point. Okay?
I have spoken to you for 2 hours, Chris, and you have oversaturated Edge for me.
How about
yeah.
this?
Yeah.
Don't believe it, but the betting that you will. So did you like that one better than the original, or no?
No.
Everybody knows which one I like. I like my theme song.
It doesn't matter what you think!
Okay. I had to. No, Dave, just so you know, Icon's theme music was, let me see, because I do got to go. This is really actually getting late, but let me see if you know what this is. Do you know what that is?
Oh man, I do not. I'm drawing it now. I don't.
You do
WWE,
not know
the music.
Icon theme song. I am so upset now.
Icon, this is the first time I've had an interaction with you. Mm-hmm. So please forgive me.
Yes.
But going forward, right. I will never, I will never forget that.
That's a good one, too.
The best wrestling music or theme songs or whatever is the quick hit, the glass break-in, the Undertaker's gong, the, like, as soon as something where, like, if a match is going to...
CM Punk?
Yeah. See, I was out on the CM Punk era. I was out on CM Punk.
Oh,
like,
that's
right.
You weren't watching.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't in there.
The best theme song in wrestling is glorious.
Were you here... Were you here for the Trash Man?
I know of the Trash Man.
Frank, what the hell are you doing, man?
That's my character. I'm the Trash Man. I come out, I throw trash all over the ring, and then I start eating garbage. And then I pick up the trash can and I smash the guy on the head.
Oh, that's gonna be a disaster.
No, nobody's gonna get hurt. I'm telling you, it's like you said, it's all fake.
But it has.
So. Yeah, the Trash Man. He would be my character if I had a chance to. So, anyways, this was the a little bit longer, about a 90-minute show tonight. But we got Dave on the line with us. We're going to be talking with him. Jason, always welcome to call. We got the Icon every week as we are here. And you know, this was actually an interesting show because we kind of dove into some reminiscing of the Attitude Era. We kind of dove a little bit into... you know, a little bit of all of what we think and what we know and what we love. And so real quick, Dave, you were listening then when I'm from Albany, New York. I was in attendance when Edge won the WWE title for the first time after cashing in the Money in the Bank at New Year's Revolution.
Yep,
yes.
Yep.
You cried. I remember you cried during that.
I did. Well, I go back on the network now and I watch it and I tear up a little bit. So, you know, so
I have those moments too, Chris. Don't worry. Like, I feel
I
definitely have those.
It's good stuff. I just remember feeling what I felt when that music hit, and I was like, oh my God, it's Edge. And then, you know, so for all of you out there, I just want to remind you, Election Day is coming up pretty soon.
You know what really grinds my gears? You, America. Fuck you.
So get out there and vote and do what you got to do and do your due diligence. We will see you next Monday, and I'm looking for the outro music, and if I can't find the outro music in 10 seconds, I'm going to hit Edge's theme music and drive
I'll
the Icon insane. I got it. Okay. No, I got it. I found it, Icon. Don't worry. I won't torture you with Edge this time. Even though it's the most iconic theme music of all time, you won't have to worry about it.
Hey, there's nothing more iconic than me.
Yeah, you're talking to the Icon.
Yeah.
All right, you know what? Come on, man. You know what? That was my outro. and then you you had to go there. So here you go.
You think you know me?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. So anyway, I will see you guys out here next week. And next week we'll have some Survivor Series stuff. We'll have some Raw, and you know, I'm coming up with an idea. We're going to play a little game. It's going to be time to play the game, I guess, pun intended, next week. So stay tuned, check us out, and we will be here.
Dead Man Walking.
You've done it now.
You've gone and made a big mistake.
And I can't allow
you to think you can just walk away.
So turn around
and face the piper you're gonna pay.
Cause the end is now.
Game.
I was blindsided.
But things will never ever be the same.
Nice guys,
instead they always finish last.
But bad asses.